Welcome to Web and Beyond Live for May 2nd, 2022. Hi, everybody. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. I'm president of W3 Consulting, and I'm managing director of W3C Web Services, which, of course, provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain name registration, and other web-related services, primarily for you, for small businesses. And so, of course, Web and Beyond Live is our weekly show about topical and timely small business, digital marketing, and related issues. And we have been off for a while. And we are now back, and I'm glad to be back. There was just so much going on in my world that I just really didn't have time for the show. And so, real talk, I just had to put a pause on it. And now that I'm back, I'm really glad to be doing this. And so, of course, our agenda, as usual, is to cover the small business digital marketing news and my commentary on it. And then I'll have some announcements at the end. This actually starts yesterday, actually began National Small Business Month. And so, happy National Small Business Month. I hope that everybody is doing well out there. And whether you're watching the live here with me or you're watching the replay or you're listening to the podcast, feel free to ask questions either in the chat or in the comment section below, and I'll try to do my best to answer those as we make our way through there. If you're watching on Twitter or on another social networking, feel free to tweet at me at W3 Consulting, W the number three consulting on Twitter, and I'll be able to respond to you there as well if you're seeing it in some other place out there on the interwebs. Today, I just have a smattering of stories that I wanted to cover today that cover from some little SBA news and then covering some news about even Barnes and Noble. But what I wanted to start off with was Snapchat. And Snapchat has put out a new flying camera. And I just thought this was really unique and interesting. They have posted a video of it. And so I highly recommend you check out the video. It's a 200 and, $29 camera, and what it does is it is basically capable of flying in and in front of you, and kind of helps you take selfies and selfie video built right directly into the camera. And so it's a little drone, and I just think it's very, very unique and interesting for content creation. And at $229, it's actually pretty inexpensive to kind of consider when you are trying to do more of that kind of you on camera stuff in environments where you can't hold the camera yourself. And so it's called the Pixie. As I said, it's about $230 in the US and France. And so I'm just really curious if any of you would be interested in having a little Pixie flying around you, being able to record video and take photographs of yourself while you are in environments where you don't have someone else to be able to do that for you. So just kind of interested if you have considered the concept, let me know. I could see a lot of opportunities here where you might be on a client site and you want to be able to take some photographs, and the idea is to have this device kind of floating and taking those photographs for you so that you can have your hands free and be more focused on other things. There is a, I'm presuming some mechanism. I haven't really dived too deeply into this yet, but there must be some mechanism for being able to control the photographs. And of course, the video is just video. It's recording as it's flying around. But I'm curious how you can kind of capture moments and that kind of thing. But I'm really interested in this concept of having a drone fly around you, not only for actual marketing purposes, but also for productivity purposes. Think of all the things where maybe you needed to scan a receipt, or you are just going about your day and you want to be reminded about things. This could be a really nice thing to have around. Of course, it can't fly around all day, would have to charge and those kinds of things. But I can see this being and starting a really interesting movement that's not you having to wear a pair of goggles or headset to be able to do that kind of thing. Anyway, just thought it was really curious and interesting and wanted to share that with you, the Pixie from Snap. Next up is just a very interesting note from Google, from Search Engine Journal's reporting. They noted that Google's webmaster guidelines have been clarified by search advocate John Mueller, who's been at Google for many years. And in essence, they're saying that we have seen the proliferation of GPT-3, which is an algorithm that can write, and it writes as well as a human does. Well, they have clarified that any AI generated content is against Google's webmaster guidelines. So just a very quick note for you all that you must be writing your own organic content, because Google considers AI generated content to be adverse to its search engine algorithms guidelines. So I just wanted to let everybody know that, because, you know, I think I've gotten that question at least a dozen times since the beginning of the year. People are starting to see these tools that can generate lots and lots of content and lots of text. Of course, it's not you generating that content. And if Google gets wind that you are using a GPT-3 type AI generating writing software, it will, you know, diminish your, you know, website and pages in the results. So very interesting. I think we're going to see more development in this space. I'm curious what the other search engines think about this, but we should be mindful that we should be writing original content. It should be human generated content, and not utilizing these kinds of automated functions for producing content. It may be helpful for you to help spur a first draft so that you can then put in the real meat of what you're trying to talk about. But just know that it's been clarified that it is against Google's webmaster guideline. Next up is that I just thought this is a fairly old bit of news. This is back from February, but I thought it was important enough to bring this to your attention. You know, doing domain registration services for small businesses, I'm always looking at different ways in which we can support small businesses in standing out. And one is that Opera now, and just so you know, Opera is one of the Chromium-based browsers, meaning that Google's Chromium project, it's not really Google's project, it's Chromium.org is an open source project. Google Chrome is based on that, and the first browser based on the Chromium project. And there are many other Chromium-based browsers, but Opera is now supporting emoji-only web addresses, which means that you could have a series of emojis, and they are represented in the browser. And a company named Yat is now selling these new domain registrations. And so you can actually have a string of emoji as your own web address. And I'm presuming that more and more browsers will support this. It just makes sense for that to be the case. What happens is that it dynamically rewrites the domain as, I'm guessing, Unicode or some other form of code that Opera is reading and then displaying the emoji in the URL bar for. So I think this is just really cool and an interesting way to stand out. Imagine having your company be, you know, whatever you do, dot, and then an emoji, right? So you have a word and then with the combination of an emoji as the top level domain, the dot X, right? The .com. And I think there can just be a lot of ways in which this can be really interestingly used. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out going forward. More and more browsers will need to support this as more people utilize the registration of these domains. And I think it's a very unique way in which you can go ahead and stand out in the crowd. So I think that it'll be really interesting to see that. You can see that Kesha, the recording artist, she has already registered her own, emoji URL. And I'm very curious to see what other brands pick up on this and support this concept, and which browsers start to do this as well. Because of course, the browsers need to support the emoji only web address so that they can actually be read and displayed in the browsers. So this is a very cool little bit of, standout features that are coming to browsers even after all these years. Next up, I wanted to talk about a little bit of research that was done to talk about the fact that better images reduce product returns for online retailers, that was published as an article by Payments, P-Y-M-N-T-S, payments.com. And in essence, the concept here is that, after the holidays, we see a whole bunch of flood of returns. You know, that is just the typical way it goes. But This particular study, this was done in 2021, half of consumers who returned an e-commerce purchase did so, quoting here from the article, did so because the item didn't match the description. And that, of course, starts with the image itself. And my point in bringing this up is that as more and more of you put products online, the more that you show online imagery of your products and services, the importance of being able to show the accuracy of what it is you're doing and how you're doing it. This is before and after shots. Say you're in construction and you're, you know, you have the before and the afters. Showing that kind of product, movement, right? The transformation is really, really important. And the same thing applies in e-commerce. If you take shoddy photographs and those images don't represent what the product looks like, that means taking products in potentially different lighting, if the product needs that, making sure the product is properly lit. You're showing it in scale, right? So putting like, say, a human hand next to the product so that you have a hand model holding the product so people know what size it is. People are always shocked by the sizes of products because they see things on different size screens, and those different size screens resize the product, and then they get the product in real life and it's not what they thought it was going to be. They expected a bar of soap that was going to be hand sized and it ended up being thumb sized, or those kinds of things. You need to make sure that people have a realistic view of what your product is and how it works, different angles, making sure that people can maybe rotate the image so they can see all sides of the product, giving the appropriate dimensions in the product description so people know the sizes of things, and maybe even showing a little bit of video, even using GIFs or GIFs to be able to display the product in movement so people know how to maybe turn it on, how to move things around, so that you can reduce product churn, because that really ultimately competes with your profitability. I just wanted to point that out because this bit of research really did clue into that fact and was really, I think, useful for a lot of folks in understanding that. Next up is that the credit card companies are in the process of increasing fees, and there is some kind of pushback around that, most notably from Walmart of all people. Walmart is basically suing Visa and MasterCard, who are increasing their credit card merchant fees. And what Walmart is saying is that when these credit card fees increase, then the merchants will need to increase their fees as well. And so I'm really curious what you have been hearing from your credit card processing companies, the merchant companies that you work with, and just let me know, because I'm really curious what is going on in this space. These are known as swipe fees or processing fees, and the idea here is that Walmart is and wants Visa and MasterCard to basically either scale back or lower the fee for their networks, and the small businesses that will be affected, I think potentially legitimate, but at the same time, most of the people who will be affected are businesses that are a bit larger. MasterCard noted that it's lowering the cost for all merchants with transactions below $5, and Visa says it's cutting its rate by 10% for more than 90% of small businesses. And of course, the kind of watchdogs here somewhat disagree with MasterCard and Visa's kind of coloring of what they're doing here. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not we do start to see higher costs today because of this increase in processing fees from Visa and MasterCard going forward. I'm really curious to see whether or not the Walmart suit actually moves forward through the courts and they come to some kind of settlement, or whether or not they put this in front of a judge. I will be very curious to see how this will kind of continue on, in the near future. This is not the first time or the last time major companies and Visa, MasterCard, basically EMV, Europay, MasterCard, Visa, and then Discover and the others have gotten into litigation before. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this works out. And of course, with rising inflation, this may depress some of the economic benefits of our resilience throughout the pandemic. So I'm curious how buyers and consumers will feel the pain of merchants having to increase fees, and whether or not you feel like you're going to need to do that in light of the increase in credit card merchant fees coming down the pike. All right, I think I have one more of these stories, then I wanted to talk a little bit about the SBA and some of its programs. So first and foremost, Yelp has introduced keyword boosting. And so for those of you who don't know, Yelp, of course, is the review site where people go on and review local businesses. And now you're able to, in essence, advertise on the platform with specific keywords. And so I think this is just a really great opportunity to be able to say, I know that I want coffee shop to boost in my area and be able to, when someone does a keyword search for coffee shop, you can have an ad then display above it, above the organic listings, or maybe it boosts your particular listing to the top or something like that. But I think this is a really good option, for Yelp to have. I'm not quite sure about its efficacy. We'll have to see what happens after advertisers have used this for some time to see whether or not it actually does benefit anyone. But, you know, of course, having more options is not necessarily always better, but I think certainly when someone is searching for keywords, they're looking for a particular type of thing. And if you can identify your business in that sense, not all businesses can, but if you're a local business that can, then I think that could be really useful for you to be able to. Okay, so the SBA has launched the Small Business Digital Alliance, and I thought this was really interesting. In essence, what they're doing is they're providing a portal utilizing a nonprofit organization called Business Forward Inc. And this Small Business Digital Alliance, or the SBDA, because you know the SBA loves its acronyms, they are in essence going to be posting information for small businesses to be able to access that gives them access to digital tools, the ability to learn how to improve operations and raise capital, as well as going out there and finding a diverse and inclusive, talent pool. And so this is also going to include a series of events, supposedly. I'm really curious to see when there's more information about that as they bring that out onto the map. And so I'm really curious, how this is all really going to come together. I have not even seen the website yet for the Small Business Digital Alliance, but as I do, I will let you all know what's going on in that space. Next up is, I don't know why this is not letting me go to my next tab. There we go. And Small Business Trends has also noted that the SBA has now launched a women's business center in all 50 states. And I just wanted to point that out for everybody. So if you're here in the United States, the SBA, the Small Business Administration, has a program called the Women's Business Center. Now, as its name connotes, it is primarily focused on women entrepreneurs. However, any small business owner is actually welcome to go to and get the services of a women's business center. And so the SBA has just noted that they have fully expanded to having a women's business center network in all 50 states. That doesn't necessarily mean there's a women's business center right around your corner, but that there is one in all 50 of the US states. And that's phenomenal. It's fantastic that we have access to both small business development centers. And that is a case where you probably have an SBDC, a center near you, which is a program of the SBA. And then, of course, you have the women's business centers also available to you. These are usually situated in and around local community colleges, around local universities, and so on and so forth. So look for them near those places. You may also find them near a chamber of commerce or another economic development organization like that. But reach out to these organizations, get the help from them. They're there to support you. That can help with permitting, with business planning, and with other kinds of tools to be able to help you launch and grow faster, stronger, and better. And I bet that if you're in Canada or if you're in another country, there's probably a similar type of organization like the Small Business Development Center or like the Women's Business Centers that are out there for you as well. So with that really covers the news that I wanted to discuss today. In terms of announcements, I just wanted to let everybody know that we have a whole host of events that will be coming online very soon. And so I don't have anything to specifically announce right now, but we will have our roundtables and our webinars restarting very soon now that I'm back online, capable of doing more in that space. But I just wanted to remind everybody that we do monthly virtual roundtables. Those are typically on the first Tuesdays of the month. And so those will be resuming. And then our Web and Beyond webinars, which are our twice monthly webinars on various topics around digital marketing and productivity for small business. And those will be relaunching very soon as well. The way to stay up to date on all of those things is just to join Web and Beyond community. So if you go to www.webandbeyond.community, you can go ahead and join us there. And you know, all the events will be posted there. And it's pretty easy to keep track of those things there. So with that, we have come to the end of our time together this week. If you've enjoyed the live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon, and we appreciate we appreciate you appreciating us, but that does help make us new small business friends, and so thank you. If you have a question, leave a comment. Of course, on the video itself, you can also tweet or message me at W3 Consulting, W the number 3 Consulting on Twitter, and you can join us each week for these. They're typically here on Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern, but I will be noting if we do them at different times and in different places going forward. I'd like to try out Clubhouse. I'd like to try out Twitter Spaces and do some of those there. So just, I may play around with it a bit, but either way, no matter what, they'll go out in the podcast feed afterward. So you can always go to webandbeyondlive.com and follow the podcast and listen to it afterward. And these are, of course, posted wherever we host the live stream. So YouTube Live, Twitter Live, and et cetera. With that, I want to thank you so much for spending this Web and Beyond Live with me. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and our subsidiary, W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing and managing your small business on the Web and Beyond.